We are the Real Kipper and Bourne Show on the eve of the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs.
Wow.
Where there's a dress code in effect.
Yes, there is.
There is. On late notice. Good job, you guys. Glad everybody's aboard wherever you're watching, listening. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 p.m. When you don't catch us live, download us wherever you get your pod in Texas at 590-590s. This is also Off the Rails Friday, which means Doug McLean's off strike.
Oh, we got him back.
I think we got him back. Ooh. I cannot confirm.
You met his demands?
Or deny.
I love listening to you when I'm on.
He's back.
But there's a sense that Doug McLean will make an appearance today at the top of the hour. In the meantime, we've got Stanley Cup playoffs on the eve. We'll welcome in Wendell Clark.
Ooh.
If there's anybody that knows what this time of the year is all about, it's Wendell Clark. In the meantime, how are you guys feeling?
You know what? I'm going to go to Sammy first on that.
First of all, I feel stupid in this jacket.
Okay, well, what's going on?
I mean, it's like a three-person hand-me-down to me because I left my house too early today. I get here too early because I was too juiced up. But I'm wearing a jacket that's a little too small, but looking good?
You do look good.
Thanks.
Yes.
That guy in a little gold.
Very well done.
He's trying to look like he's bulky.
Yeah. But I will be honest, I am feeling incredibly nervous today. And I felt nervous before the show, which is something I haven't felt since day one of this on TV. And today I walked in here and I was like, I am really nervous. And yeah. I'm feeling, I got the playoff pit in my stomach. It's Go Leaf Go season. It's car flag season, baby. It's time. I'm nervous.
Feels good.
The Bruins.
Feels good. Feels like living a little bit.
Are you feeling a little better than, like, is giving up 11 goals in the state of Florida a couple of days ago a thing of the past for you? Have you moved off of that?
At least they only gave up 11 goals in the two prior to that as well.
If you're watching on Sportsnet or YouTube, wherever you want to watch this after, this is me turning the page, boys.
You are.
I'm turning the page. It's playoff time, baby. Those two games never happened. Sheldon was, all he was doing was watching tape in between
playing
periods of the
possum.
Bruins. No one cares. Never happened.
Let's go to the news of the day, shall we? Should we talk about what's going on with the lineup, or do you want to tell me how you're feeling?
No, I'm good. You know, just you still look good though, Sam.
Thank you. I want to tell you that.
And if I
got a haircut today too.
With your haircut and the jacket, yes. if by Monday they're up 1-0,
wearing the exact same thing.
Exact.
I'm wearing this jacket every day until the Leafs lose.
Okay.
That is now a thing.
Fair enough.
I'm not lying. I will wear this every day.
Spring is in the air. Stanley Cup fever is in the air. And JB, where do you want to start here in terms of this key matchup? If I'm not mistaken, this is the 17th time the Leafs and the Bruins will play in their history.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, maybe the fifth in the last 12 years, which is a pretty incredible short run here.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody ready for another one of these?
Yeah, I mean, you got to love it, right? I mean, this is a great foe. This is an original six opponent. There's history. There's just a lot to love in terms of getting excited about the matchup. So I'm fired up there.
Totally
thrilled about that.
Is this part of your nerves?
Yes.
That you have to go into a place where there's not easy access for like 5,000 Leaf fans to get to, like there would have been in Florida.
I think at this point with this, I am in a good place with the Bruins in terms of playing them because, I mean, you're already 0-4 in the last series. Like, 0-5, what a huge difference that is. To me, there's a mental part of this. It's like, well, for the fans, you're expecting them to lose. So if they beat them. What a pleasant surprise. Like, it's a very interesting spot for
you're
the Leaf
Cooper,
fans
you're trying to
be.
Frame it as we're the underdogs here. We're just happy to contend with
these guys. They're obviously the underdogs, yeah. But no, it's part of it is that I hate that building. Hate watching games there.
We will get to a ton of Kippers Clippers in the next little while or throughout the series. But our boy Sammy here has already declared Jim Montgomery not in the same class as a Paul Maurice or a John Cooper.
I think if you went league-wide, those guys are 1-2 for coach clips.
I would say that I don't know how it's going to play out as the series goes on. I'd say that Sheldon was pretty close to the best today, which is extremely unlike him, as we know. And Jim Montgomery was the same, pretty close to the vest. But, you know, as the series goes on, these guys tend to use the media a little bit more as a tool in terms of getting more calls potentially, or however they want to call it, a player or somebody on the other side. So we'll see how it progresses. But yeah, he's not exactly Cooper or Maurice. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So let's start with who's going to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs on the weekend. We have some updates, but it sounds like, well, they have updates. We are being denied updates mostly. Is that the state of affairs with Sheldon? That fair to say?
Well, the big development today from practice is that William Nylander was absent from the skate.
Yeah,
as well as Bobby McMahon, who was hurt in the game against Detroit, and we kind of knew that he was on the fence to play. But Willie not being there is a big surprise to everybody. And the coach addressed that absence. If you want to hear that, I think it's clip number one.
Kept him off the ice today, and both he and Bobby McMahon both stayed off the ice today, but both are possibilities for tomorrow. And that's it. I mean, Trees made it pretty clear to me there's not going to be any daily injury updates or anything like that. Our guys are available, and that's it.
So it's an injury versus an illness kind of situation?
Like I said, you guys are available. That's all you're going to get.
Don't you dare ask one more question.
How about
follow
masters
up with me? Okay.
Mouth shut.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, a little page out of John Cooper's book in past years. We're not going to say who's available. We don't know.
Could this just have been a mental break for Willie? Here's a guy that the storyline of 100 points got buried over Austin's chase for 70, but it hasn't been a good stretch for him. And could this have been nothing more than just a one-day mental break here? Because I got to be honest with you, I don't see Willie in game one. I'm wondering, like, what is going on here? How does a guy finish the game and there's no sense of anything? And then game one, he doesn't show up. Like, what is going on here?
No, that's a really good point, which really, Kipper, just reinforces that he's going to play. You know, like, he finished the last game. It seems like a wild stretch to say that he's then not going to play in playoffs. So I think you can count on Nylander. McMahon, I'm less sure about. You've been less sure about his availability.
I don't expect McMahon to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay? No, it's... Here's a guy that there was, if you're going to use, what was the term they used? Probable or like, what was the term?
Available.
Available, right? You would have used it in Florida. To not use available, possibly available during those two games and then throw him in game one, to me makes no sense. Whatever is ailing, whatever is bothering him enough where you definitively say he was no good to go Wednesday or Thursday makes me think, why are you going to push it or force it right into game one?
Well, don't you think, though, that like if he was close to coming back, that it would make sense to say, okay, well, let's skip these two games and make sure he's good for game one?
My sense is if it was bothering him Wednesday, Thursday, then like give him Saturday and possibly Monday or the following week. Like, whatever was bothering him, whatever kept him out this week, didn't go away for tomorrow night.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Mm. Yeah.
That I think it's much more significant than day to day. And there might be a chance that he doesn't play till later on in the series.
So with that, with McMahon out, that does open a door a little bit. So right now, the way the lines were today, Matthews is back with Bertuzzi and Domi. Marner and Tavares played with Matthew Nyes. I believe Robertson is a placeholder for Willie. So you're looking at Willie, Holmberg, and Yarncroc.
Yeah.
And then Duer, Kampf, and Reeves.
That's your game one lineup.
That's your game one lineup right there.
Yeah. And I'm happy that... Reeves is in a position where he looks and he's earned that spot to start game one.
Yeah.
He's got a forecheck. He's got people looking over their shoulder. That's what this time of year is all about. And he's earned that spot.
The other thing, too, is it's not like the Bruins are the fleetest of foot. You know, whether, you know, Pat Maroon's on that team or, you know, Marchand isn't electric anymore. Zacha, like a lot of their guys are not the fastest guys. So I feel like Reeves is a pretty good fit in this matchup.
The other one I like, too, is Yarncroc with Willie on the third line. If we're going to spread the offense,
yeah,
right, with Matthews, Marner, and Willie, then you still have to give the freedom of Willie to go and do his thing. And Yarncroc is, I think, a good guy to cover up, to watch his back when he's cheating like a mother, you know what.
All Swedes, eh? The Swedish line of Willie, Holmberg, and Yarncroc. So that's a good line. I like that one. Then the big news on the back end, TJ Brody is the odd man out.
He wouldn't confirm or deny when asked about what's happening with the decor. Like, he gave a short, you know, to the point answer that's not even worth listening to. It was just basically like, you know, it's playoff time. We're not decided on anything. But according to line rushes and according to practice, TJ Brody's going to be on the outside looking in starting game one.
Exact lineup we thought.
You don't throw him in when you've practiced with other guys. Like, what do you want to piss off? You're going to totally piss off guys now where you can't trust practicing the day before a game together.
You saw this coming a long time ago. I think maybe a month ago you're talking about Brody being maybe in playoffs.
There was just not enough signs for me that his game was in a good place. And, you know, this one's kind of tricky for me, because this is a guy that you were kind of counting on here.
Sure.
Like, he was supposed to be that guy that kind of was the buffer between your fourth, fifth, and sixth defenseman to Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone's comfortable with Riley and McCabe, but then it gets a little dicey for the Leafs.
Yeah.
Brody was supposed to be that kind of anchor. He's a $5 million guy. Like, you're starting the Stanley Cup playoffs with your $5 million defenseman in the stands.
I do have moments. So I have been fine with this lineup, but I do have moments where I'm like, is it super overthinking it to have, like, Labushkin over TJ Brody? Is that overthinking it? Is it Liljegren over Brody? Are we overthinking this? But I just think you have to put the contracts aside, Kip.
Yeah.
You can't. It doesn't matter.
It's not about it, – it's just –
But the idea
it's
of
the idea of the money,
yeah.
The money that you wanted.
You've invested in the person.
You've invested in the person all along.
Yeah.
The money is now, it just imbalances the feel of what you should have had going into game one. That's all.
The idea of a $5 million defenseman is that he's a good player and a good contributor, will be in your game one lineup heading into the playoffs, and he's not.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's a pretty big shock.
But I do think back to, you know, an older generation where we didn't know what players earned. There was a pure meritocracy. And you say, who's playing the best? Who makes the most sense? Yeah. You know, in that case, I don't know that Brody does. But the other thing I kind of think that just, like, peaks in my head a little bit is, in the past, at the trade deadline, when they've added new players, it's been like, it's the new players team. Like, you're talking about, how do we get Ryan O'Reilly going, and where do you put in, you know, Achari, and where, you know, Shen is going to be a big part of this, rather than saying the core is the core here. And if you can fit in, great. But, like, everyone's like, well, you got to play Edmondson because you traded for him. It's like, no, you don't. He has to play his way into this lineup. You know, I don't know why it's necessarily handed to guys. So,
well, they want Edmondson to
dummy people,
to butcher Pastrnak.
Basically, he cross-checked Draisaitl and got himself a playoff.
But you need, as a management team, though, like, I get what you're saying, but if it doesn't end well, that stuff's coming back to the management side. You gave up draft picks for guys that didn't even play.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you want to cover yourself here, right?
You know what else comes back to the management? Where you took out one of our guys who'd been there all year for a guy who stunk. You know, like, if you put in Edmondson, he's no good, it's going to come back too. So there's risks all around.
Yeah, but you might as well go down with the
guy you added.
The guy that you added, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, is if you don't, then you look like you're second-guessing yourself before you've even you've had the outcome decide for you.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing. That's not a good look.
As long as they're quick to go away from it if it doesn't work. As long as if a game two, yep. Leafs lose 5-1, they go, okay, that didn't work. We got to do this better, different.
Somehow. All right, speaking of the lines, you want to go to Keefe on Matthews and Marner separate?
Yeah, he got asked, like, how hard is it to keep those guys apart, basically was the question, and this was the answer.
Very easy. That decision was made weeks ago, and liked what we've seen from that, and liked the options that it gives our guys and gives the rest of our lineup. So, yeah, it was quite easy.
You know, he offers stuff up that's so good for our show, but he just shouldn't. Like, you know, like, why tell us it was made weeks ago? I love it. But that's great.
Well, and this really comes, for me, off the back of the work that Max Domi has put in to kind of change the perception, that first half perception, into a guy that can be looked upon as a guy that can hold his own with Austin Matthews. This is the real key here, is that if Max Domi can get off to a good start with Austin and have that depth spread out, it is for sure making the Toronto Maple Leafs a stronger hockey club.
It is. And what it does to me, so McAvoy and Lindholm have been paired up on the Boston side, and those two guys are far and away their best two defensemen. Mm-hmm. They play the most minutes, the toughest competition. They often anchor their own pairs. They've got them together, I assume, to shut down the guy who scored 69 goals this season. So that should free up Marner to drive a line, to beat Carlo and Grizzlick, and you know, have Tavares there with him, and hopefully Matthew Nyes too. So, hoping it spreads the wealth and gives the Leafs a chance to get the depth scoring they haven't got in past years down the lineup.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say then, you know, that pair is going to go right at 34.
Yeah.
So what does that leave? Zacha, Coyle to go up against Austin?
Yeah, good question. I got to believe Coyle, because you get Marchand and DeBrusk with Coyle, which to me, that's a pesky, got some skill in D. Would that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think we have seen that matchup during the regular season, mm-hmm. which really sets up for me a pretty good battle between Marchand and Domi. Mm-hmm. Like if Marchand's doing Marchand things out there,
yeah,
it's Max that will be in his face.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Which
I have a prediction. Marchand will in fact do Marchand things. That is my bold prediction for this first
game. Domi, Domi's like, he's fine with playing like that, you know?
It is, and as long as Max is smart to pick and choose his spots, and he cannot end up in the penalty box with an extra
Kadri
two.
Either, you know, with the...
You got to be able to be really smart here.
Yeah.
In terms of when to get into his face, when not to, if you can pull him off, take that trade all day long. Max and Brad in the penalty box together, that's a win for the Leafs. But you can't go by yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really salient point. That's an important point. Like, that is going to be a lot of jawing, and I think you would make that decision before the series. My junior hockey coach, we used to write the other team's lineup on the board, and you would circle the guys you want to get in their ear and square the guys that were blockheads and you wanted to stay out of their ear. I'm sure they've decided how to handle Marchand ahead of time. Do we want to be in his ear or not? Domi, you'll have to play it smart. It's going to be a good matchup to watch.
You want to get an overall feel of where Sheldon feels like the Leafs are?
Yes, I do.
All right, clip two.
Feeling's good. You know, guys are excited. You know, it's good to turn the page in the regular season. I was kind of dragging on there for a bit. But, you know, once you knew who you were playing, you're able to hone in on it a little bit more. And then the excitement builds that much more from a player's perspective, coach's perspective. You're digging in on the preparation, and there's not a whole lot of time. Our schedule's been tight here. But, you know, you want to just drop the puck and get going. That's, you know, it's the most exciting time of the year.
I got to ask you guys a question. Because you talked about the penalties that you can't have Domi taking when he's out there against Marchand. You can't goad him into stuff. Where do you think the Bruins' power play ranks in the league this year?
I think it's decent, isn't it? Top? No?
No idea.
14th in the league.
It's unusual.
So it's not the same unit that it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's clearly not like, oh yeah, they're going to suck at it in the playoffs. It's going to be good. But like,
right.
I don't think it's what it was in years past. And that's something to me that's surprising when I looked at that it's down to 14th.
Yep.
Well,
Leafs are seventh, by
outside,
the way, somehow.
Outside of Pasternak being a true superstar, mm-hmm. like, they got a lot of meat and potatoes in this lineup up front. And that's not to take away from Marchand and his ability to score, but Marchand, as an offensive threat, isn't Pasternak. He's not.
No, he's Tavares.
Kucherov. He's Marchand.
Yeah, he had 60-some points, below a point per game.
And according to the Daily Faceoff stuff with the Lions, and they're usually pretty up to date here, that Marchand is not on the first power play unit. So they're maybe doing for the two separate units here. They have Pat Maroon on the first power play unit, apparently. So.
Okay. And to your point, they finished 14th in the NHL in just total goals as well.
Yep. So they're not the threat that you would have seen.
Which,
out of,
if you're the Leafs and you're worried about your D goaltending,
Florida,
that,
right?
That helps.
I mean, this the great thing, like, watching that Florida team play on, what was that, Tuesday night that they played them?
Wednesday.
Yeah.
No, Tuesday. No, it was Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. The Leafs did dodge that bullet, because when they turned it up to 100%, that doesn't look like many teams in the league that can do that.
No.
But the consolation prize here is no treat. But the Bruins are not the Panthers. So I think that's something that if you're a Leaf fan, you can kind of be like, well, at least we dodged that bullet. Because it felt like Daryl Sutter, you know, quote, waste 8 days with the Panthers.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers were also the league's best team in terms of goals against. They let in under 200 goals on the season. Mm. You know, Boston top five as well. So still very good, yep. But not quite Florida.
So we all are on agreement that, like, the Leafs, this is a definitive advantage going into this series, is the Leaf forwards against the Boston Bruin forwards. Are we all together
yes.
on that?
Yes. The Toronto Maple Leafs finished second in the NHL in goals this year, 298. They score a ton.
Zach Coyle, Morgan Geeky, who's stopping Austin Matthews?
We do this every year. Where it's like, yeah, the Leafs forwards are the advantage, and then it's game seven and Geeky's banging two in. It's just, you know, you do this every year, and that's been the great torture of this Leafs team, is that on paper, their forward group is excellent, but when it comes down to the big moments, that's when things get dicey. And that's where other teams' guys have risen to the occasion.
We're not
like a pass.
We're not there
yet. That's
what
I'm saying.
Don't take us to game seven. Let's just take it into game one.
You say it's an advantage.
It clearly is
an advantage, but.
Don't give me the butt right now. I don't need the butt right now.
We're laying out the pros and cons of the teams. This is a great offensive team.
Are we talking about the Leafs here?
No, you're talking about ghosts. You're not talking about reality.
You are.
It's not reality. It's not reality.
No, it is reality.
They score more than anyone in the league outside Colorado.
We're just going by the optics, we're going by what we've
what
seen.
What should happen.
What should
before
happen.
Before the ghosts ruin things.
Okay. on paper, they're way better at forwards. On paper, 100% agree. Agree. Yep. Advantage Leafs.
Advantage Leafs.
For sure.
We got one green check.
Until the big. Oh, my God. Are you just like.
What do you think?
You're damaged goods.
Yeah,
that's the only way I can describe you.
Yeah, I was totally unjustified here, boys. They've given this so much.
We're going to invoice you for this therapy later.
Continue.
You just lose until you win, right? And that's what you're getting to.
The Chicago Cubs won the championship 108 years later.
It's just every once in a while.
You got a grin. You don't believe anything. Anyways, let's go. Next thing.
Buddy, I believe the Leafs are better than the Boston Bruins up front.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's
a fact.
That's it. That's
a fact.
That's what I'm going for.
Agree.
Okay. Defense, we probably would give the advantage to the Boston Bruins, but if Morgan can look like Morgan in the first round against Tampa Bay, where we saw the best hockey of his career.
Yeah.
That would go a long way to balancing it a little bit. Agree or disagree?
It has to happen. It has to happen. Without playoff Morgan, you look at the Leafs' decor, and it's just not.
They're in huge trouble without playoff Morgan.
Yeah, without playoff Morgan. He needs to be able to play 25 minutes, assuming it's a 60-minute game.
And we've been in trouble before saying that he's not going to be able to flip the switch, so I believe he can, and I believe he will. But, boy, that game on Tuesday shook me a little bit. But, yeah, we turned the page on that. That didn't happen.
But Hampus Lindholm 2 years ago was like Norris conversation when he didn't have that season.
No, he did not. Absolutely not. So if that trend continues, can McCabe mm-hmm. kind of balance out Lindholm a little bit?
You know, I don't know.
Is that a reach?
Well, I just think they're different style guys, but I mean, I think Lindholm is like a good puck mover and a good skater. You know, in the end, I think McCabe ended up with 5 more goals than Lindholm and probably as many points. So, yeah,
as far as minute muncher,
yeah, and, he can do that.
A guy that can shut down and protect.
Yes.
Can he come close?
He can come close.
Okay, so what does that leave you with? Grizzlick, Carlo,
Shattenkirk, Peak.
And Peak.
Shattenkirk is not good at this point. Has been a great career, but...
Third pair guy that can play secondary power play maybe, or power play in general.
Can make some plays. You can put him through the glass. Right.
On the first power play unit.
First power play unit,
so,
yeah.
And then Grizzlick. I like Grizzlick,
but I
don't think he's a top four.
No. I also like Carlo, but he doesn't have that kind of, like, if he were a bit more physical, I'd like him even more. But, yeah, like, they're fine. But I don't look at them compared to the Leafs guys and go, you know, it's head and shoulders. The Bruins decor is better. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yes.
It's better.
Okay.
But I don't think it's head and shoulders better.
I'm getting the sense that if you get Morgan last year, McCabe can hold his own, yep. And then you just hope certain guys stay within their limits.
Yeah, Benoit's physical. Lilligren skates it out. Like, there's...
It should be okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in agreement on that.
Now.
Now we get to a duo that's been lights out for the last, what, few years, 3 years?
Vezina last year for Allmark, and Swayman will be on Vezina ballots this year.
So this is where...
Probably starts.
It's kind of important here on a Sammy start.
What do you need, Ilya's? At what number does Ilya Samsonov's save percentage have to be for them to win round one?
Great question.
Is 900 enough?
No.
910.
He was an 899 in their win last year.
Yeah. Vasilevskiy was a 740 last year, so yeah, that helped.
That's a great point. Was he that bad?
How many goals are Leafs going to average here?
It needs to be a lot, is your point.
4.
Seems unlikely.
Listen, I don't know if Samsonov has to stand on his head and do spins.
Yeah, but he can't be bad.
But he's got to be good Sammy. Mm-hmm.
What button do you push to make that happen? I guess a week with Curtis Stanford is the...
They back down to whatever gulag he was in with that time in the season, and you hope.
Let's go to Sheldon Keefe on Samsonov.
He's had a good season for us. He's in a good place, and anytime he has slipped up, he's bounced back. I think he's in a good place there. He's got lots of experience. You know, we've got lots of depth and goal. Lots of good options for us, you know, and we feel good about it. Waller hasn't played as much here in the last couple of weeks, but had his run before that and got some time in the net. And I think, like I had said a few weeks ago, our plan was, you know, we didn't know how we'd end up there, but we thought it'd be sort of a split by the end, not necessarily rotating each game, but like we ended up in the last 11 games there. I think we have 6 for Sammy and 5 for Joe, so we got good work for both guys, and then Jonesy gets in as well, and we feel good about our group there.
Oh my God, don't start talking about good options already. We haven't even started.
I was concerned about the phrase "lots of depth." Do you mean more than Wool?
To be fair, Montgomery said like the exact same thing. So if you want to play the second Montgomery clip, Derek, he said the exact same thing. Basically,
we got 2 great goaltenders. Our entire group's very comfortable with either one, and you know, performance is going to dictate a lot of how we move forward.
So,
all right, can we also hear clip one on who's starting tomorrow, so we can talk about that guy?
Sure,
we have decided. No, we're not sharing it with you guys.
Oh. Uh-oh. He's going to give us clips of that length all series?
He's not
got to be Swayman.
Yeah. Does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, they are both very good goaltenders, right? It's there's no doubt that that is the strength of the team. You kind of hope that what happened in playoffs to them last year. So they went Allmark all the way through to game 7, right? And then we're like, crap, we're going to have to hit the emergency button. Like, are they going to alternate these guys if things are going well? one of them were to have a shutout or one of them were to give up six, did they just keep switching?
Allmark played the last two games of the season, by the way.
He did.
He did. Yeah.
Swayman was a
no,
nine.
No, sorry, he didn't. I lied. He played the last game of the season.
How about this? Swayman played 44 games, 916. Allmark, 40 games.
That's incredible.
915.
Right? That is
sick.
So that adds up to 84, meaning there was some pull and someone went in, but almost a dead split and a 915 each.
Listen, it's anyone's guess based on Montgomery, but my gut says that they'll start Swayman first.
I have heard that from people that it feels like it's going to be Swayman.
Any huge advantage or disadvantage, bench boss?
It's a good question.
Don't know.
What is Montgomery's experience? Like, I know Sheldon Keefe now, I feel like, has been through a number of rounds with this core and hopefully learned some lessons. And I, having worked with him, know he's a smart guy and not so stubborn. He wouldn't change things. So I'm confident in his ability. I don't know Montgomery's. He was in Dallas. I don't know if they went deep
but
at all when he was there.
I feel like I'm so much more familiar with Maurice and Cooper
and stuff,
with the playoff stuff as opposed to Montgomery, because it's been so long since the Leafs played, and he wasn't the coach last time the Leafs played him. So,
is it Julianne when he was
It would have been the guy who, I'm having a tough time, Vegas coach.
Oh, yeah, Cassidy.
Cassidy, thank you. So, well, boys, what do we think?
Well,
what's your predictions?
Yeah,
we got Wendell coming up.
Or you want to save him towards the latter part of the hour?
Let's break, talk to Wendell, and then we'll do our
picks. Let's just make sure to give him.
All right. Okay. People want to hear what's the call on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. But before that, we'll take a break and we'll welcome in one of the most popular Toronto Maple Leafs in history. Wendell Clark will join us, the legend. We'll get into the Leafs' chances of slaying the Dragon once and for all. And this year's team, how tough are they compared to years past? We'll get into that with Clarkie when we return to the Real Kipper and Bourne show.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective, Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne show. As promised before the break, Toronto Maple Leaf legend Wendell Clark on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's welcome him in. Clarky, how's it going, pal?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
How are you?
We're all good here. 24 hours until a little over 24 hours we get it going here. Does it matter how many years have gone by since retirement? Is there something that gets the juices flowing this time of year for you?
Yeah, this is the one time we're always still excited, I think, as ex-players. We don't miss training camp or the grind of the season or getting hurt, but first playoff game, that's fun no matter what. This is when the home building is the most fun and the road building hates you.
Wait, how do you feel about the road building they're going to be going into and the draw they got here? Boston Bruins, that's a good old rival.
It's a great rival, and actually, I don't mind it. Both teams kind of limped the last couple of games, looked like they're waiting for the playoffs to start as it was, and I like the situation that we're going into, actually.
Well, it's interesting now because the last year, there's been a sense for Brad Treliving. You want it to get bigger, tougher, stronger. I think we can all be in agreement that that's happened here. How physical of a series do you expect you know, with the likes of Brad Marchand involved in all of this?
Yeah, well, he's old now. he's almost as old as you and I, Kipper. But the big thing, I think it's going to be less physical than if it was the Florida series. And, you know, the first game of any first round is nuts. You know what it looks like anyway, and it doesn't matter what series it is. And then from there, I think our key isn't, I think we've added toughness. We can initiate it a little bit now. We just don't have to react to it. But the big thing is for us to play patient. Our players that aren't the skill guys have to be patient and don't get out of position trying to force something to happen. Just let the game come to them, and we'll have the skill to outscore the other team by the end of every game.
Well, and this question is sort of related to that. how tough is it when you go into a playoff series and you're all amped up to run guys over and the intensity and all that? How tough is it to be composed within that? I think back to Kyle Clifford taking a major in game one, or even Kadri, you know, taking a suspension. Is it tough to sort of manage the emotions and still stay all jacked up?
Well, I think it's a, you want to be there, but it's everything within the rules, and the rules have gotten a little lighter than it was in the old days, obviously, but, you're just, if he doesn't have the puck, well, you can't follow through four strides later, an elbowing penalty, a high sticking penalty. Those are all still in the game. So you can't do that. Really. It's just forecheck hard, play hard, finish your checks when the puck is, when the puck's there, just don't get over aggressive on pinches and third guy not being in position because you're trying to force something to happen. Because, you know, in the playoffs, that's when the other team eats you alive and you can't get that second and third goal because you can't donate goals in the playoffs.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about the thought that now Max Domi may be going up against a Brad Marchand or a Bertuzzi, and there's a lot more sandpaper in those guys than we've seen in years past. And that might come in handy against the Boston Bruins. But, you know, yeah, it's been a while, Clarkie, but it feels like that epic scrap that you had with Marty McSorley for a lot of Leaf fans feel like yesterday. Can you take us a little bit into your decision to go after him at that time with so much on the line, including maybe getting thrown out or getting an extra penalty? Like, what would Max and Tyler Bertuzzi be thinking about if they had to make a decision like you made against the LA Kings in the playoffs?
Well, I pretty much knew Marty was going to fight. I don't have to worry about him turning and skating away. He's when a guy's 5'10" skating up to 6'3", he's not skating away. But the big thing is just to play with great energy and those guys can, if they can play the way they did, like the way Bertuzzi played in Boston last year in traffic, and the way Domi was playing in Dallas, you're just playing with great energy and tenacity. That's more about the toughness in today's game. Is every shift you're playing with tenacity and puck battles, and you're in there grinding. And we want to initiate the grind on their team, on their defense, force bad passes because forcing them to do things in a hurry, not do the flybys and stuff like that.
Wendell, what would you say to Toronto Maple Leafs fans who believe in ghosts, who believe in curses and the jersey, and, you know, because it's the Leafs, they're going to get bad calls or bad luck, or it's not going to go their way? You know, what are your thoughts on those vibes that some fans believe to be true?
That's the fans for to talk about, and the media to talk about. It creates attention and fun and anxiety in the series. You know, this series, it's going to go back and forth mm-hmm. four times, I bet, in no matter how long the series is. But it's something I think every player goes into it going, no, we're going to win this. That's our mindset. If you're not going in with that much confidence, then you're not going to win it anyway. The players have got it in their head that, no, we're a better team. We're going to play harder and smarter, and we're going to come out winning. I'm hoping that's what our dressing room's thinking when they're going into this.
Joining us is Wendell Clark, Toronto Maple Leaf legend on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Excited to start these Stanley Cup playoffs. Wendell, in terms of coaching staff, how does that role change from a regular season to the playoffs? This is another shot for Sheldon Keefe to take a talented lineup deep. What do you remember basically out of a guy like Pat Burns during your stretches here in terms of how they can truly make a difference during a playoff series?
They're going to have the game broken down. Every player is going to have a sheet of who they're playing against. They'll have the whole team, and then they'll have who they're playing against pretty much every shift until the coach starts juggling and rolling the dice when something has to happen mid-game. But really, he'll have them all prepared. The assistant coaches will break it down, which defensively and penalty killing and power play, they're all going to be on the same page. And getting everybody to buy in and understanding what their roles are. And then it's, when you're coaching, you're reading the game. No longer do all the numbers matter. Okay, over time, if we play this way, odds are we win because analytics tell us that. Well, come playoff time, you can throw a lot of analytics out the window because you're not going on an 80-game analytic. You're going on a 4-game, 7-game, 3-period you as a coach, you might say, this isn't working. I have to change it for one period. It's not that you change the whole system. You might just change it for one period just to see how the other team reacts. And that's where the coaching will come in with his gut call and what he sees out of his team and what the other team's doing.
Well, when I look at your stats, you know, that 92-93 year, you're 39 points in 66 games. You go into playoffs, you're a point-per-game guy with 10 goals. What does it take for the best players to maintain or even increase their output in these situations where the other team is keying on you and being even harder on you?
Well, the easiest thing in that year was come playoff time after the halfway through the Detroit series, I got to start playing with Gilmore.
Oh, is that the secret?
so that Gilmore thing has a little bit to do with getting more points.
Okay.
But no, it's and points become harder to get. So you're playing in traffic. The players that want to, you don't have to be a tough guy running over guys if you don't play that way, but you have to want to go through traffic to get your goals, even if you're not a big guy. You know, Nicky Borshevsky scores in overtime because he's in going through traffic to tip a shot in from Rouse. So it's about going through and hanging out in traffic because it's going to get tighter inside that, I call it the five of diamonds in front of the net. You have to want to play inside there. And on defensively, you got to keep everybody out of there. If we keep everybody out of the five of diamonds, nobody scores. They score one goal a game. If we don't get inside it, we don't score more than one goal a game. And really, the game is that simple. It doesn't matter the era. And it doesn't matter all the video and analytics. You break it right down. The shape of the building has never changed.
So with you joining Gilmore, is it inevitable that we'll see Marner back with Matthews at some point?
I think you're going to see a lot of it, like a little bit. Dougie, come playoff time with us, he ended up playing centering Davey Anderchuk and Borshevsky, and then he come and centered the third line with myself and either Foligno or Robbie Pearson or Glenn Anderson. So Dougie started double shifting to have offense on two lines. And then our one centerman didn't play that much. And I think with Marner, I think you're going to, because of the injury and the timing of when it happened and how good Domi did when he went in there, I think he's got an element there as a coach that he can change things up a bit because the team has played that way now. So I think it's a bonus. He can throw a couple different scenarios. You're harder team to check because now you can throw, you got Willie Nylander, who's been our best forward the last three playoffs. He can carry a line himself. Then you got Tavares playing in another line. You got Matthews. And so you can throw more than one line out. So they have to worry about checking more than one line.
How do you feel about the additions they made, bringing in Labushkin and Edmondson, a couple of big bodies? Is that going to be the difference in protecting a guy like Samsonov, maybe, who number's not great this year, but has shown stretches of being able to be a good NHL goalie?
Yeah, no, I like it. I think they're going to be harder on the forwards when they're doing cycling our end. I'm hoping that's the one of the reasons why they're here, that, you hit and pin and check and hold down and be hard on the other forwards. And we just got to make sure we don't play high risk. I think if your name isn't Riley, you're not pinching past the hash marks on a regular basis. I need to make sure that our end is I don't care what our system is, our end is looked after first, because you can't allow come playoff time, a 1-0 hockey game with 30 seconds left in the first period and you allow a 2-on-1 because somebody pinched. And now it's 1-1 after one. And you always want to lead if you can take it in. So it's really situational and being, that's why I say for us to play hard and be patient, our skill will sooner or later take over. We're not going to score 5-6 goals every game, but with the lineup we got, we are going to get 2 or 3 every game.
Have you got your car flag ready?
It's a long, it gets ripped up. I got a 2-hour drive before I get to the game. It'll be ripped up before I get there.
Well, we can't wait for it all to get started, Clarkey, and we'll come back to you at some point. Hopefully it's a great deep run for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we'll have you on a couple more times. Thanks for doing this, pal.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
See, I love that thought of either Mitch or Matthews jumping on a different line and doubling up. That's the one thing for that, sure. I think he has not done that in the past.
Steal a shift or two.
Go big or go home with these guys. right? I think he's double shifted Nylander more than Matthews or Marner than I can remember in the last few years. And I'm like, listen,
you're right.
The guy like that should be double shifting to me is Marner above everybody else. That's just my opinion.
No, I don't think it's a bad opinion. Can we sneak Marner out there with the fourth line? You know, whatever. Just give him another couple of reps.
And especially with what Wendell said, he's been off for a month.
You know what really resonated with me was the Five of Diamonds stuff. And just if they get inside, they'll score. If they don't, they won't. It's not that hard, you know? And that's why you have Edmondson, the long stick, and that's why you have Labushkin in his playoffs.
Size of the rink hasn't changed.
It's a good line.
All right. You want to go first?
Sure. So it's tough on a show like this because I've never been the homer guy, but I am taking the Leafs, and I'm taking them in six.
I took the Leafs in seven.
Do it.
It's okay.
It's the Bruins in seven.
It's Bruins in seven.
Yeah.
If they go to Boston in that building game seven,
and
it's
there's
fair
only
pick.
One reason why, because we've kind of noted where we think the strengths and weaknesses are, and I don't blame you, but going into game one, there is a distinct advantage for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. One word. Culture. That's it. They've had a better culture and the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't, but this needs to be the spring where that changes for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. And you know what? The Bruins have gotten away with some blown playoffs along the way that people don't, you've probably noticed.
Well, they would be talked about like the Leafs if they didn't get that one in 2010.
Right.
They've had some of the most all-time meltdowns. I mean, they blew that series lead to the Flyers. They're down 3-0. They were literally the highest point total in the history of the league last year, who lost to an 8 seed. They lost in game 7 in their own building twice, I believe, in the Stanley Cup final. They've had some horrific blown leads.
So my point is, you can get in their ears. You know, they're not above the, oh God, not this again feeling either.
Yeah.
It's just,
and you could play that card if you were literally any other franchise.
You're right. You can't. It's tough as the Leafs.
And I think it's going to be an excellent series, and I think it's going to be paper thin, super tight. But when it comes down to it, it's going to go seven games. And the seventh game of the series is at the TD Garden. And I don't think the Leafs can win that game. I just don't.
I saw somewhere, I think it might have been The Athletic, the percentage chance or whatever that the series goes seven is like 30 plus, like 32, 33% that it goes seven games, which is insanely high.
Yeah, it is really high.
I mean, their goal differential between the two teams is one on the year.
But you got to assume that, like, after all these disappointments, that this is the peak. This is the star players in their prime. This is their time.
So you say Leafs in seven?
Yeah.
Leafs in six.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guy that says Bruins in seven.
Yes.
Which we really wouldn't have thought.
Rude. Now I feel like an idiot, and I feel mean.
It's but okay.
I should get
to be right. You have the chance to be right on the show.
I'm not switching up my pick, but I feel bad. Like, I want them to win, but I just can't sit here on my platform.
It's
which,
okay.
I know. You're now
jaded.
I am.
And you're damaged goods. We get it.
This jacket's going to be damaged goods if I move too quick.
Win or lose, you have to live with yourself. And, you know, that's punishment enough sometimes.
Boys, this is going to be fun.
Buddy, let's go. I can't believe it's not tonight.
It's going to be really exciting. And, you know, we come in here on Monday talking about game one, teeing up game
two.
Game
two on the way.
Like, it's just, we're right into it. You know, the playoffs are all still, like, this weekend,
happens fast.
This weekend is just a cornucopia of sports action.
What a word.
Like, just, you got the
overflowing
NHL playoffs kicking up. You got the NBA playoffs kicking up. You got the Jays. You got the golf. You got everything.
And you know what?
Good couch weekend. And I don't
three
have any kids,
Canadian
so
teams
I'm just feet up.
Our favorites. Yeah. My kids are going to have a lot of iPad time this weekend.
All right, and we're only getting started on Off the Rails Friday because we got seven more series that we got to touch on.
Oh, my God.
And
seven.
We've got Doug McClain at the top of the hour. He hasn't been on, like, forever. This is just like, hey, how are you? And he'll go on for 20 minutes.
The best.
Yeah, it'll be a nice break for
us. Turn the mic on.
All right, Doug McClain, when we return, the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away.